So everything we've talked to over this series of the 6-7 days of creation is how we think about spiritual things. Most of the emphasis of the days up until now have been about how we think about spiritual things, or how we think about the things of religion or about God. And even though the sun, which was created on the fourth day, is a symbol for the love that is in us from the Lord, the fourth day is really just the awakening of that love. It's not the love yet manifesting in our life. So this awakening of the fourth day is made possible by gratitude. And a shift happens in us on the fourth day because we begin to believe that the goodness that we do, the goodness that we feel in our hearts, the concern, the compassion, caring for other people, that all that goodness, we begin to realize that's not in us from ourselves, it's in us from the Lord. The fish and the birds that we read about on the fifth day last week are symbols of the things we begin to think about when we wish to have the love of the Lord in us. And these things are alive on a whole different level, even though they're still things of faith for the most part, alive on a whole different level than the plants and animals, or plants and the fruit rather, the fruit that had seeds in it. They're not just a rehashing of the things we've been taught or the things we think we believe. On this fifth day, the birds and the fish are things that we begin to see are from the Lord. I wanted to tell a story to illustrate this. It's about a man I know who was married, and he had a beautiful wife and he loved her. But he struggled with being tempted by every beautiful woman he saw. And he justified this attention he wanted to pay to them by blaming them for being beautiful or being attractive. And so the problem was not in himself, he didn't think. It was in the world and society and all of that. And I want to say, this isn't just about men. We all have these kinds of feelings sometimes. And this man had never been unfaithful, but he even sometimes looked at his friends who had been, who had affairs, and he disapproved, and he looked down on them, and he thought of himself as more righteous than they were. He saw himself as a righteous person, even though he had these thoughts. And because he didn't act on the thoughts, because he believed that God didn't want him to act on the thoughts, he began to see how God was the one who was helping him and giving him strength. So, for example, he would notice that if he was looking at another woman, he was afraid that his wife would notice that he was doing that. And he would stop. And then he would realize, I didn't stop on my own. I stopped because the Lord was helping me to stop. He gave me that fear. Because he didn't act on the thoughts, because he believed God didn't want him to, he began to see how God was giving him the strength to be a better husband. And so we can see how this happens with a person who is transitioning from the third day to the fourth day, because that's what this story there illustrates. The person who is living the externally good life. It appears to be good life to his friends and family, but inwardly there's decay, and he knows it. And as he begins to want to change, because he's doing the right thing, he begins to receive love from the Lord. It's that fourth day, the sun being created. This happens as a result of the process of doing what we believe we're supposed to do. And once the love of God is in him or her, he is open to thoughts from the angels flowing in from the Lord. And those angels can bend a person's thoughts in such a way that they now see lustful thoughts as something that comes from their lower self, something that the hells can flow into and stimulate. And begin to wrestle with those thoughts and to realize that he's powerless over them on his own, and so beg the Lord to help him not look at other women that way. He might even recite the Lord's words in the Sermon on the Mount to himself whenever he catches him thinking about women that way and saying, "But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Now that's a teaching he knew from Sunday school, but now he's seeing it in a way that applies to himself. And that's a miracle that's happening in him. Now the Lord can give him a renewed love of his wife, and he can begin to see her inner beauty. Because it is only goodness in us from the Lord that can really see the goodness in other people. Now, I just want to say here that lust and adulterous thoughts are only an example. They apply to us in different ways, and they don't apply to all of us. But we all wrestle with evils of some kind. And if you need a list of evils you might have to wrestle with, you could go home and look up the Ten Commandments and read what's on the second table. And you'll find things that perhaps you struggle with or need to be struggling with. And so when the person gets to the point where the love of God is in him and actually changing him and changing his or her behavior because we want to be changed, and we know only the Lord can change us, that's when we begin to be fully and truly human. And that's what the sixth day of creation is all about, this process of allowing the Lord to do the work in us. So let's read in True Christianity, number 147 in your card. Everyone knows that what makes a human being human is not having a human face or a human body, but wisdom in his understanding and goodness in his will. The higher the levels these reach, the more human he becomes. Every person enjoys the potentiality of understanding truths and of willing good deeds. But to the extent that he does not wish to do good deeds and understand truths, to that extent he can be externally pretend to be human and ape human behavior or act out human behavior. So remember the words in Genesis that we read earlier. Then God blessed them, and God said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." You know, having dominion over is not talking about controlling animals or the world. It's about allowing the love of the Lord and the goodness that flows into us from him through the heavens to have control of our appetites, of our lusts, of our beasts or living things that move on the earth, to have inner thought or the thoughts of the inner spiritual self have dominion over the thoughts of the lower self. And those are meant by the birds and the fishes. Ultimately, it's about having the love of goodness able to control or subdue the things that fill our bodies and our lower minds with delight. And, you know, the Lord gives us those things too. You know, the Lord gives us good food. The Lord gives us relationships. The Lord gives us all kinds of sensual pleasures, and they're gifts, but they need to be under the watchful eye of our inner self. So our final reading in the pew card is Matthew 7, and it tells us how the Lord and the heavens look at a person who knows better but doesn't take good actions. Let's read in Matthew 7. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." So each week I print a task card and put it in the back of the bulletin. And my hope is that one day people will, and perhaps they already are, using them, thinking about them during the week and following some of the things that the task suggests. But I wanted to stress that doing the task isn't about proving that you are a good person. I hope on some level that most of you, when you try and do the task, are like me and you fail. You fail because spiritual growth isn't about demonstrating to the Lord that we are good people, or demonstrating to the people around us that we tell how well the task went, that we are good people. It's about looking at spiritual endeavor and realizing that without the Lord, without God in our hearts, we can't do anything good. And so when you work on a spiritual growth task, there's no such thing as failure. There's opportunity to see yourself more honestly, opportunity to grow in spiritual things, opportunity to enter more deeply in relationship with the Lord and with one another. So this week's task, which is on the task card at the back page, says, this week notice when your lower self is disturbed by the words or actions of others. Pause. Listen to the thoughts of your higher self and ask yourself, what would Jesus say or do? And again, I just want to stress that, as with the example of lust in the story I told earlier, when we feel annoyance or anger or resentment or whatever you have feelings towards others, it's just an example. It's just an example. I'm inviting you to look at the emotions that come up in your lower self during the week that you would rather hide from other people. And then notice what your inner self is telling you about them. And when you do, you may notice an entirely different kind of challenge that you need to look at in your lower self. And you know, this is where spiritual growth gets exciting. Just the fact that we can notice Just the fact that we can notice things in ourselves means we're looking from a higher self. Just the fact that we can wish we were different, or wish we could do better, or wish we would stop saying unkind things, or whatever it is that we're struggling with, it doesn't matter. But that ability to look down and reflect from a positive space is exciting. And people who are not at all awake spiritually just don't do that yet. Hopefully they will one day. Hopefully we all will do that more and more. Even if those people, or even if we act outwardly righteously because of fear of punishment or fear of what others will think, unless we look at ourselves from the inner self and allow the Lord to comment on and bring up things that we need to look at and change, we are not yet fully human. We're more like the beasts. But you get to take a positive action when you start to see yourself in this way. You get to take positive action. And that positive action reminds me of the story of Noah's Ark. Because you may not be aware, but in the description of Noah's Ark, Noah was told to build a window above. And that window above shows or represents two things. It represents the way the light from heaven can come down through and illuminate our lower selves so that we see, but it also is a way that we can look up and see the quality of our higher self. So it's like a window on our souls, a window on our spirits. And that's the heart of the task today. Listen to the thoughts of your higher self. Amen.